The documentary film Startup.com opens this week in New York. It's the story of the brief life and sudden death of an internet company. But it's also the story of a relationship between two old friends. Khalel Isaza Tuzman is a polished go-getter, a businessman who knows how to schmooze, wheel, and deal. Tom Herman is a single father, the technical mind and the sensitive soul behind their company, GovWorks.com. Khalel's idea for the business was simple. Create a website for cities and towns that helps people get things done. Pay a parking ticket, for example. But sometimes professional problems got personal.
You know, if we're co-CEOs, then we're co-CEOs. But don't tell me anything different. And if that's the way it works, then I need to know that that's the way you think it works. And you know what? I'll leave. It's the same discussion we had before. You know, it's not going to work. So I need to know, you know, what it is you want to do. And then I'll make a decision about whether I stay.
Okay.
Startup.com was produced by D.A. Pennebaker, the documentarian responsible for Monterey Pop and The War Room. The co-directors are Pennebaker's longtime partner, Chris Hegedus, and first-time director, Jahan Newjame. They met by chance. Hegedus was looking for her next project and became fascinated by the parade of young entrepreneurs who were turning into tech celebrities. She was introduced to Newjame, who had already started to film her roommate Khalel's transition into the startup world.
Khalel was planning the business out of our apartment and having people over and pitching the idea and able to raise a lot of money, you know, just out of his bedroom. And everybody was quitting their jobs in order to do this. It just seemed like this is the thing to do. This is the rock star path to take. And the attitude was, we can really make it happen and we can do anything. And it seemed like it was the case because they were able to raise so much money so quickly. And, you know, 6 months later, he's sitting next to Clinton.
Given that you were Khalel's roommate and already there was an establishment of trust there that allowed you to film him, what was Tom's reaction when you invited him to be part of this documentary and say, we're going to be putting a camera up your nose too?
He would support us and ended up supporting us more than anyone, actually. I mean, there's this scene where he gets fired from his job and he ends up going home to his mother. And his mother was uncomfortable with the camera because she'd only been filmed twice. This was the second time. And she actually said, you know, I feel a little bit uncomfortable with this. And he said, no, no, this is an important part.
The values that you grew up with were that people came before things, and that the intensive energy that goes into anybody's personal life and professional life has to do with caring for people and how they are and how they feel. And that didn't seem to be part of this new world.
People's personal feelings.
Right.
I disagree.
All I'm saying is I'm not sorry that that part of your life is over, because I don't think that's a healthy way of life, and I didn't like what it did to you.
Maybe I wanted a way out.
You followed them for a year, really, from 1999, where there were very few employees, up through 2000, where they were up to more than 200 employees, and then, of course, their own crash comes on New Year's Day, 2001. The scene with Tom and his mother happens toward the end of the film, after Tom is essentially terminated from the company, and to a certain extent, that trajectory forms the drama of the documentary. But at the beginning, they are, although different types, they are very, very good friends, and they have been friends since high school. Chris, do you think, in addition to this being a documentary about, you know, the startup companies and the entrepreneurs, you had to have seen a human interest story developing here, because whenever two longtime friends get involved in a business venture, at some point, there's going to be conflict, there's going to be drama, and there's going to be compromise. Is this something that you could almost smell?
I mean, we could see it almost right off. I think within the first 2 weeks, we have a scene where the whole, you know, small group of four guys that are starting the company all go visit a venture capitalist. And, you know, somehow or another, Tom says the wrong thing. And everybody else is, you know, very upset by what he said and worried that they're not going to all be on the same line when they present themselves. And, you know, right off, it seemed like, uh-oh, Tom is, you know, he's more of an artist type. You know, mm-hmm. he's going to say what he thinks and, you know, not do the business speak.
I swear to God, the business will fail if he does that. Tom, Kalail, we need to have a strategy discussion immediately. I don't care if I miss the first data meeting and you miss the rest of the day on Sapien, because we're giving different messages to different people, and we can't do that. We can't have a meeting with Strong Capital where we give one message and you walk in the room and say, I disagree, and this is the other way we're going to do it kind of thing. It's really, really painful for me to try to make this successful when I feel like I have to fight at each juncture every single day on the same issues, man. Please call me as soon as you can on my cellular.
You know, you could see that there would be some tension. And also, as the company grew, you know, as they raised $60 million within a year, which is a phenomenal amount for, you know, people to raise when they're 27 years old, 28 years old, and the pressure behind them to succeed and make money became more intense. And, you know, they made their site do everything. You know, that was an incredible pressure on Tom on the tech end. You know, to be fair to him, even a seasoned CTO in his position probably wouldn't have been able to handle it because he was inventing technology mm-hmm. as it went along. Everything was so new.
Did Tom get to see some of the footage that he might not have been aware of when, for example, he was going through the termination? There's a scene, he leaves the building, and then the next thing we see are security men coming up and they're saying, we've had a problem. But Tom was out of the building. When did he find out that Kalail had called security to make sure that Tom would never go in the building again?
When he saw the movie.
Have you just been downstairs?
Yes.
Everything's all set?
Yes, Tom Herman has left and we've started the security process.
Tom is no longer with the company. And he has been escorted out of the building. And measures are being put in place. People are going to have to show their ID coming in and stuff like that. No, I'm not kidding.
You know, I think that they had been through so much together by that point that I don't think that Tom was very surprised. And they hadn't spoken. They'd spoken occasionally, but really hadn't communicated as friends for about 6 months after that happened.
So seeing the film in some cases must have opened up some old wounds, created new ones?
I think
healed
in some
any,
cases,
maybe?
No, I think in some cases it did, and that was really painful to see. I think that it did remind Tom and Kalail of a lot of what happened.
You do get a sense. I mean, you are getting inside the lives of these guys, and as you watch the documentary, I have to admit there are times when I'm just cringing a little bit, maybe because they're being so brutally honest, and you realize that they are hurting one another, although they don't realize it. We're the only ones that are privileged. Were you ever resented for being there, on Tom's part or Kalail's part?
There's this very funny time, which actually ended up being cut out of the film at the last minute, where Kalail's sitting on his bed, and I was questioning him about Tom. And I think Kalail felt so bad about what had happened with Tom that he really wanted to just move on and deal with what was going on with the company. And, you know, he kind of was eating his cereal, like, on the side of his bed. And I was like, what's going on with Tom? What's your relationship? You guys haven't talked or anything? And he's like, you know, Tom is like the eighth factor in what's happening with the company right now. You know, the problem is that we have flat revenues, we have bloated infrastructure, and blah, 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 blah. And then, so I got that, walked out of the room, came back, sat down, hoping that he'd calm down a little bit. And he said, you know what's going to happen? Tom is going to end up with 2 years of paid salary. You're going to end up with a neat little film, and I'm going to end up going bankrupt, you know? And so he joked about that sometimes. But I think during the times that we were filming, there were definitely parts when they were like, should she be here? Should she not? But I think in general, they feel like they were part of a bigger, important story.
What happened to Kalail and Tom?
Kalail and Tom are together again.
Doing what?
They've started a new company to help distressed.coms, and it's called Recognition Group. They have some customers, and they're trying to support people who have gone through what they went through.
And their friendship is mended?
It is. I mean, I think that they'll always remember what happened.
Well, it's on film.
Yeah, so I guess they don't have a choice. But they've definitely moved on. I mean, I think they have a really amazing friendship. And I think that Tom thinks Kal-El's going to hit the jackpot someday. And I think that Kal-El really trusts Tom like a childhood friend does.
Chris Hegedus and Jahan Nujaim are co-directors of the new documentary film Startup.com. The producer is D.A. Pennebaker. Chris, thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Jahan, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks.